Hey, everybody, welcome to You Should Know This Song. This is Reed.
This is Race.
And
we are Mixtapes.
So, you know what we're getting ready to do here? I mean, by now, you have to know. So, welcome and get ready for a couple of games and what have you that we have in store this episode. We're going to do.
I think we're going to probably start today with You Should Know This Song, our primary challenge.
Yeah.
Don Henley got up out of the audience and went up on stage to sing it with him. Maybe a few minutes of quick hits.
Quick hits, that's a fun game. You should know this song. It is when you wake up in the morning with your head on fire.
And then my personal favorite, ask and ye shall receive. Yes. Where did everybody have matching towels? And of course, we'll be tossing a lot of BS and
garbage
in there while we go.
Yeah, I guess
I don't know that it's garbage.
It's
really
garbage.
It is,
I mean,
BS.
When you talk,
why are you always cheating me, man?
Why am I mean?
Mama don't like me.
Yeah. So get ready for some fun and a lot of blathering and meandering and talk about music and rock music specifically. So
join us. We are the Mixtapes doing You Should Know This Song.
So like we said, we're getting ready to get going with the next segment of You Should Know This Song. And this is going to be our prime segment, as we call it. It's the core game, if you will, that we play. And it's where it all started. So
I got a couple here for you. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready, although it's hard telling. I'll find out after I fail to guess the first two or three. That'll tell me whether I'm ready or not. Boy, I'm really down on myself there. I'm kind of setting myself up on the wrong foot.
Here's your first clue. You should know this song.
I should know. On the road today, I saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. And I do know this song. A little voice inside my head said, don't look back. Don't ever look back. That's I have so many weird comments on this in my head already. That's Don Henley, mm-hmm. and Boys of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the name of the album, and it might be Boys of Summer.
Let me look here real quick.
Don Henley. That song is a mid-90s song, isn't it?
84,
late 80s?
84,
mid-80s.
Building the Perfect Beast.
Building the Perfect Beast, which is a great song, too.
Yes.
One of the things that, because, folks, if you didn't know this already, the show is heavily based on ADD. And as soon as I hear a song, like 13 things just flash in my head as things to say about something related to it, even remotely related. And one of those remotely related things was having gone to see Mojo Nixon back in the day. Yes, I am spinning off quickly here. And Mojo Nixon doing a song called Don Henley Must Die, which was tongue-in-cheek and all that. But for whatever reason, I was reminded of that live performance in that song. I personally dig Don Henley, and I really dig that song and all that. So,
and my next clue, and what I was intending to do, was drop two in a row. That's what I told you, that I had a little curveball for you. My next clue was from Don Henley Must Die by Mojo Nixon. Skid Roper, he put out Don Henley Must Die.
That is great. I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, I would ask you to get the hell out of my head.
I just deflated your, I took the wind right out of your sail. Scissors to your sail there.
So, anyway, Mojo Nixon's Don Henley Must Die was 1990.
Right.
And the album was called Otis. But I found an interesting little tidbit about this. I'm going to one-up you here.
Just back up a minute. As soon as I recognized the lyrics, the first thing that flashed in my head was the Mojo Nixon song. It's so weird and ironic. I don't think I've thought about going to see Mojo Nixon or that Mojo Nixon song in 10 years.
It's in my head regularly.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
And if you don't know Don Henley Must Die, you must find it and listen to it because it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's just hilarious.
So somewhere in the early 90s, now this album, the song Don Henley Must Die came out in 90. The previous song, Boys of Summer, came out in 84. In 92, in Texas, Mojo Nixon was doing a show, and he was on stage, and he did was doing Don Henley Must Die, and Don Henley got up out of the audience and went up on stage to sing it with him.
I did not know of this. I've not heard of this amazing story.
Mojo Nixon was like, what are you going to hit me? What are you going to fight? He's like, no, I want to sing along. And at the part where he says he hopes that Glenn Frey and them, that's one of the lines, is I hope he doesn't get better than Glenn Frey.
Right.
That was where Don Henley wanted to jump in because he also hoped he could get Glenn Frey. I was reading this today while I was looking at the dates and stuff, or earlier this week while I was putting this together, and I was sitting at the computer laughing.
Just,
my
yeah, the thought of it is hilarious. I love it. I just love it.
Actual, like, somewhere on the web, you can find, like, the story, and, like, it's a play-by-play.
Sure, yeah.
So
I will be going to read that.
I want to thank you for stealing that from me.
I didn't steal it entirely, because I certainly didn't know that side story, and the side story is far more entertaining than me saying.
My intent was to actually do two in a row, which we never do, but I was going to say, hey, I got one I got to put in right now.
That's what it is. I could sense that you were going to cheat, and I just, swept it from you there.
So, yeah.
Well, that was great. I appreciate that.
Boys of Summer and Don Henley Must Die.
Yeah.
And I guess it's probably now your turn.
I really appreciate that reference. And, man, I had fun with that just now because I love it when, you know, the ADD crap on this show just falls together and turns into something. All right. So my clue for you, and you should know this song.
I just saw Halley's Comet and she waved. No, you're going to have to give me more than that.
Okay, let's see what you got here.
Said, why are you always running in place? I got nothing, man. This does not...
I didn't know if this would be... I can explain why I sort of threw it out there. I wasn't sure if this would be something familiar to you or not. So I won't let you struggle with it for too long because I can see now it's probably not familiar to you. It's a song called Second Chance by Shinedown from 2008. The writers are Brent Smith and David Richard Bassett. It's a really great Shinedown song from off the album The Sound of Madness. Anybody out there who knows a little Shinedown is going to be familiar with the song. It's certainly one of their bigger radio hits, and I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe he recognizes it from the radio. I think if you heard it,
I might.
You would recognize it, but probably it's not a song that you sort of followed, or whatever.
We talked before, by 2008, I wasn't spending a lot of time listening to radio. I was.
Well, I know I call it radio hit, but you know that's because I use the word radio like a person who's 61 freaking years old. You know, it's just one of their bigger songs, streaming or otherwise.
Sure.
One of their bigger songs. Yeah. So, I mean, they're a progressive, is probably not the right word, semi-alt hard rock band. So I think it would be spinning through a lot of the channels you listen to.
Sure.
You know.
And I may know it and just not recognize it by the lyrics. A lot of times, you only hear the lyrics that are in the chorus or that are prominent. In a lot of songs.
And I was just thinking of that. Tell my mother, tell my father, I did the best I can to make them real. Sometimes goodbye is a second chance. Sometimes goodbye is a second chance.
Okay,
maybe that's familiar.
I didn't get it.
Okay. I think it's around to you now that my dud's fallen flat on the floor in comparison to your huge, you know, fireworks explosion.
Well, you know, when you got it, you got it.
Mine even had the words Halley's Comet in it, and it still was like, you know.
I just didn't know it. I'm reaching way back here. I think you should know this song.
Okay, I should know. The lyric is, everybody here is out of sight. You can't dance and stay up tight. I do know this song. Everybody here is out of sight.
I'm going
to
give you...
But you're going to have to give me a second lyric.
Second lyric.
Yes. They keep things loose. They keep... Yeah. Once you hear it, you hear... The piano in the beginning is just, it's too much. So, Dancing in the Moonlight.
There you go.
I just had the band name flash in my head, and now it's the, oh my gosh, it's right there. I can't think of the band name.
Okay, so the band's name that we know, the version that we know is from a band called King Harvest.
King Harvest.
Written by a gentleman named Sherman Kelly. From 1972.
That doesn't ring a bell, though.
It was a cover of a tune by a band named Bofalongo.
Buffalongo.
B-O-F-F.
This is great.
L-O-N-G-O. I knew that you would like that.
Buffalongo.
Buffalongo.
How is it possible that they weren't the more successful band with a name like that? It should have carried them to the stars.
I don't know. And I don't know anything else that King Harvest did. They may have had other hits. I mean, 1973 was definitely AM radio era in my life.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You
know, and this was certainly an AM radio song.
I think more importantly, do you know anything else Buffalongo did? I mean, King Harvest, come on. They should be taking a back seat. That's amazing.
I do not.
Now I want to look up and see if Buffalongo is like a slang term, if it has a meaning behind it, or if they just came up with something that sounded cool with a bunch of letters and they were like, let's call it that.
It was probably a bunch of people sitting around.
Somebody played a riff on the drums and they were like, that should be the name of our band. It sounded like Buffalongo. Okay. Is it my turn?
I believe it is.
It's about time. It's my turn. I mean, I've been sitting over here. Okay. You should know this song, friend. Your first lyric clue is?
Do what you want, doing it naturally, but if it's too easy, they're going to disagree. No.
You do know this song.
I'm sure I do.
You do know this song. I don't know if you know the lyrics, but you do know this song. Here's your second clue.
You want to listen to the man, pay attention to the magistrate. No, I don't know. I'm not getting this song. Huh.
But while I got you in the mood, listen to your own heart beat in.
No.
No?
Who?
It's our friend Kenny Loggins.
Really?
From Caddyshack. It's I'm All Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the song is I'm All Right.
I know the song I'm All Right. 1980, Caddyshack. I'm trying to hear the lyrics in my head while I'm talking. And you know, that means I don't have to listen to you while I'm talking. So
right, exactly. You're listening to what's in
your head. Wow, 1980
K. So yeah, I knew you knew that song. I wonder, I'm a little surprised at that.
Is that like in the middle? Is that?
It is the
lead into the chorus.
Second, is it the second verse? Do what you want, doing it naturally. What is it? The second verse? I think it's the second verse.
Before the na-na-na-na-na thing?
Yeah, right there after they say, pay attention to the magistrate, but while I got you in the mood, listen to your own heartbeat, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do enough of the really crappy trying to perform the song here on the show and just say Caddyshack is what you talk about after that, right? I mean, come on. Isn't Caddyshack still a great movie and something that people should be listening to?
Best comedies of the era.
Great, stupid movie, just full of wonderful one-liners and references to remember.
Pretty cool soundtrack, too.
Oh, really good soundtrack. Yeah, yeah. Really good, like all the way through. You know, a lot of people backing up on this Kenny Loggins song right here. Most notably, Eddie Money.
Really?
Doing some background vocals on it, what have you. Yeah. It was a cool song and a big hit.
I actually have to give that song a listen and kind of pay attention.
The song itself, if you really didn't ever pay attention to the song sort of structure and how it's put together, it's a cool song. The way it's put together, I've always appreciated how that song is put together. Anyway, I think it's you.
Oh, it is me.
Yeah. Give me a lyric, because otherwise, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep talking. I should know this song.
You should know this song. And you do.
And the lyric is, once you looked at me as...
it's not. Read it again. You once looked at me.
Oh. not only ADD, but...
Dyslexia. I can't speak and you can't read.
Dyslexia.
What a great team.
Okay, let's start over with that. The lyric is, you once looked at me as a white knight on a steed. And I think I know this song.
Do you want a second clue?
Hold on. One second. Go ahead, second clue. I don't want to take up too much time. Now you know how happy I can be. The second line is, now you know how happy I can be. No, it's not coming to me, and I know this song. Oh, Daydream Believer by the Monkees.
By the Monkees.
The Monkees, who are, I should know, because how closely related are they to Mixed Apes? I mean...
Mixed Apes. It's family almost. Right,
almost family, and I'm so embarrassed.
Written by a guy named John Stewart. I don't know anything else that he wrote.
That's funny.
He was actually not that John Stewart.
No, not that. Not that. That it's a song written by somebody else for the Monkees. Didn't they write a whole lot of their own stuff?
No. Really? Not at all. No, Boyce and Hart wrote most of the Monkees songs.
I thought... now I can't think of his name. Not Peter Tork, not David Jones.
Mike Nesmith.
Not Nesmith, the last guy.
Mickey Dolenz?
Mickey. No, it is Peter. It is Peter Tork. I thought Peter Tork did a lot of their writing and stuff.
No, almost. I mean, they were a they were a manufactured band.
I know that, but then there was some impressive sort of musicianship and producing.
Actually, like, became a real.
That's who I'm thinking of, Nesmith.
The guy with the hat.
Yeah, the hat. Right, he wore a stocking hat.
We talked about him before. His mother invented.
No, I'm not going to remember that. What are you doing? Another challenge? You doing
whiteout?
I do remember you telling me that. I do remember you telling me that.
Or was on the team at 3M that remember.
Right.
Almost all their stuff was written by other people. And they're one of those bands that the Wrecking Crew did almost all of their music,
right.
Initially, at least. And Mickey Dolenz had been a performer, like an actual, was in film and stuff as a kid.
Sure.
And all three of them had some experience.
I wonder if the Monkees were... Sorry, you were finishing a thought.
I was going to say all three of them had some performance experience.
Right. I wonder if they were technically the first, like, boy band.
That's what I know them as.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm trying to think of who before that. It seems like in the age of just when before the Beach Boys came on the scene, it would have been a common thing to have a boy band assembly made and other people write music for them be presented. In their uniforms with their synchronized steps and all that stuff.
I don't think a lot of that was assembled. I think those just happened. It's always been, I've always heard that.
Sort of technically, or it's thought of as the Monkees being the first boy band.
Being a manufactured band, if you will.
Yeah, and again, going back to my surprise that song being written by someone else, I thought I had heard or am of the understanding, mistakenly apparently, that they after a few hits were doing, especially Nesmith, doing some of their own writing and some of their own songmaking.
If I'm not mistaken, Mickey Dolenz, in the last couple, 3 years, has put out an album that is all Dolenz, is all Nesmith's written songs as a tribute. Because Nesmith died.
Yeah.
And they were apparently close friends.
Right.
And I think it may be that Mickey Dolenz is the only one that's still alive now.
I don't remember hearing Davy Jones died, but I don't know that I would have heard it. But okay.
Anyway, I guess that makes it your turn.
That puts it on me to try to choke you up again.
Give me some more crap that I'm not going to know.
If I can just.
And by the way, trying to choke me up. What's up with that?
Well, what isn't
I
the
point? Don't you want there to be success here?
I do. I want to because I want us to be able to talk and for you to enjoy it too. No, I want all the glory to myself, right?
Okay, well, there is no
hopefully
glory
you know this song. You should know this song. So, that's not to shame you if you don't. I'm being nice, and I really hope that you.
Whatever.
Here's your first lyric clue, sir.
It happened one summer, happened one time.
Oh, I really hope you know this song because I think you really know this song and you'll enjoy it coming back in your head.
It's ringing some bells, but
maybe you'll get it with the second.
It happened forever for a short time. Oh man, what is this?
One summer never ends. One summer never begins. Oh, I know you know this song, and I know you like her, and it's from that whole alternative era.
I'm not getting
female
it.
Singer. Maybe that'll help.
I'm not getting it.
You're not getting it?
I know it, but I'm not getting it. Suddenly Last Summer. Yeah.
By Martha Davis then.
The Motels.
Yeah. 1983, Little Robbers is the album, Martha Davis and the Motels. Yeah. I was kind of excited about that song because
It happened once. I've got it now. Yeah, you that was a good one that I should have. I absolutely should have known.
Yeah, I was kind of excited about you knowing that one. So.
Yeah, I'm a little verklempt now. I don't know how to handle this.
We'll get you on there. We'll get you some. It'll happen.
Oh, geez, thanks, Mom.
We have to remember that it's about the billions of anticipating needy listeners out there. I mean, literally, half the world's population.
Billions?
Needing the show to happen. So whether you or I... It's my turn.
So
it's your turn.
I've got one for you. You should know this song. Now, I'm veering off a little bit here as far as genre.
Okay.
But it's a very popular song.
The lyric of the song that I should know is, "Now tell me, is it going to be you and me together?" That is a little generic, but it sounds familiar the way the words are assembled. Give me another one. Give me a second lyric here. Oh, yeah. Or are you just having fun? Now tell me, is it going to be you and me together, or are you just having fun? I know this song.
You do.
I can hear the next line.
Danny, what
is
it?
Are you just having fun? Oh,
Because the next words come are on. The title of the song.
No, I'm not going to get it. I mean, I'm going to take too much time. Sure. Too much time getting
Paula
it.
It's Paula Abdul.
Straight up now,
yes,
tell me.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
Straight up now, tell me.
I literally put it in there strictly for the purpose of throwing you back.
Stumping me, or yes, are you yes. just having fun?
And, I mean, it doesn't really require, doesn't really relate as rock and roll.
You're right. That's, you know, it's rock. It's that's a bubblegum pop music pop for tune. Sure. I mean, it's. Yeah.
But the thing is we were in a bar somewhere having a dinner, and I heard it, and I'm like, oh, this is a good one.
You know, I'm kind of glad you threw that in there for the reason that I hold back on that kind of thing like this. Well, yeah, I mean, in my mind, Paula Abdul is like super teeny bop pop.
Sure.
That I've vacillated on a lot of the time when I've had a song like, well, it's popular enough that... Probably he's going to guess it.
Yeah.
But it's really not what we should be putting in the
really
show. You know what I mean?
Is it really makes you want to dance. Like, it really, I'm like, I'm sitting in my seat, and it's not my style of music at all. But man, it's so catchy.
Yeah, yeah. To me, and just for, you know, the sake of getting my thoughts out there, the instant I heard that song, if I had my choice, I would just turn it off before 1 second of it played.
Right. I was at a bar having dinner, so... I couldn't really turn it off.
And I know, I understand. So that's where I hear it anyway, is walking through Walmart or whatever right, anymore. Right. You know what I mean? It's still played a lot
the kind of
on those overhead things.
Turn it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I know Paula Abdul's popular, and those songs are popular. And I can think of, you know, in probably 30 seconds, I could think of five more Paula Abdul songs because she was ubiquitous for a while there.
And wasn't she actually like came from being a choreographer?
Right? Yeah, she was a big time choreographer. She started well.
Lots of
in my knowledge, in my knowledge base, she started off with big people, or she started getting her in with big people like Janet Jackson, what have you.
Right, and, being, you know, the choreographer,
known entities. So it's my turn, right?
I believe so. Give me something else that I won't know.
Let's see if Race can
knows
get
this song.
One.
I should
you
know this
should
song,
know
right?
This.
I should know this.
You
song.
Should know this song. Here's your first lyric clue, sir.
In my eyes. Indisposed, in disguise, no one knows. I hear the song. I may not be able to come up with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In my eyes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go you're, ahead. You're going to get it.
Hides the face, lies the snake. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who is it?
Oh,
Black yeah. Hole Song.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
And, is it? Oh, I don't know who the band is.
It's Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Okay,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, Chris Cornell. Yeah, yeah.
Soundgarden, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I. Okay, so
nice, you go, and that was
well,
great.
I didn't
that was
get
great.
It. I got the title of
no,
the song.
No, you got it. You got the title of the song, so, I mean, if I'd let you click
it's
on it
been
for
a while,
a second.
Man. I mean, like, I feel like in the last time that we sat down, I missed, like, seven in a row or something. I think it's a
I don't
conspiracy.
Think it was like that.
I think that
yes,
you
yes,
and my
I,
wife
I
and
agree.
My mother
yes.
are all together
we've
and
had,
trying
we've
to make
had
my wife miserable. And,
hey, do this one. Hey, post that one for Race. So that is, again, Soundgarden songwriter Chris Cornell, his great self, 1994 on the Super Unknown album. And if you people out there have not listened to the Super Unknown album until your eyeballs pop out of your head, go do it directly. I cannot advise more strongly on anything. If it's not one of the more, it's, you know, it's a hard-edged album, but hard-edged music. You know who Soundgarden is if you're listening to this program.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is just phenomenal. I mean, there are so many songs on there that I...
It is a good album.
Really, really great. Okay, are you going to go ahead and try to embarrass me?
No, but I am going to go ahead and give you a clue.
You can't embarrass me. You know that. You gave up on that long ago.
I mean, you embarrass yourself, don't you?
That's my domain. Oh, and my I should know this
you
song.
You should know this song.
Lyric clue is, how smart are you? That does not ring a first, second, or third bell. It's not even...
And what's the second clue?
How smart are you? Second clue is, how dumb am I? How smart are you? How dumb am I?
You know the song, Wayne. You know the song, Wayne. I don't know your name, but you know this song.
How smart are you? How dumb am I?
Nothing.
It sounds like how dry I am, how wet I'll be.
You giving up?
I'm giving up.
Okay.
It's not
the
ringing.
Replacements. I Will Dare. How smart are you? How dumb am I?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Westerberg, dude.
I haven't heard
that
song in a long
sing,
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. You got the melody enough that I got it. Yeah, I haven't... Wow, it's been a long time since I thought of that song. Yeah, the Replacements.
I love The Replacements. Oh, my gosh. Replacements.
Yeah, so great. So great.
Them and kind of the Lemonheads were at the same time playing the, you know, mm-hmm. around the radio mm-hmm. at the same time. And
I wasn't nearly as into Evan Dando and the Boys as I was the Replacements.
Yeah,
I love
no, there's you know, some
Paul Westerberg
really
made
stuff
some
there.
Really
there
cool
really
music.
Some good stuff.
I wonder what Paul Westerberg's up to. I wonder if he's still cooking out
tunes. I would
bet
you that he's producing, if nothing
producing.
Else. And, but I mean, you know.
That band made some really cool songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really
yeah,
cool songs. And not just for the time, I think. I mean, it was, it was really cool music. Anyway, is it me or you
I
got?
I believe it's you.
Here we go. Back to me. Let's see what I got. You should, I think, know this song. Here's your first lyric clue.
I can't help this feeling. I'll go out of my mind. That sounds a little generic to me. you want to give me another one?
Okay, and I'll clue you in that this is also alternative rock. Alternative rock band that we both know and I think both love.
These players always hit me because they like my behind. Man.
It's probably, is it not ringing a bell?
No, not at all. What do you got? Who is it?
Okay, this is Hashpipe.
Okay.
By Weezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You got me on a Weezer one last time too, didn't you?
I don't remember that. Yeah, I think I did.
You did?
I thought you got the Weezer one last time.
Oh, that was the sweater song, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You got that.
Cool. So, yeah, I didn't get this one.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to give them the
Weezer,
particulars?
Written by Rivers Cuomo, 2001, on the album Weezer.
The album known as Weezer.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm sorry that I missed that.
Great song, great bass line, great, you know, just great feeling all the way around. And it's got a little story behind it, too.
Give me that.
Which doesn't come through in the song lyrics as much if you're not really listening to them, but they wrote it about, this is a loose translation of what I read. They wrote it about sort of at-risk, I believe, male prostitutes on Sunset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, if not a particular male prostitute.
Yeah, but like socially conscious stuff.
But yeah, it was like a, you know, had some social consciousness to it. So,
wow.
And, it, you know, it's as likely we're going to have a correction segment on me saying that because now I'm trying to just remember what I read on the wiki page without having it in front of me. So, anyway, I believe.
It's my turn.
Table has turned.
And you should know this song.
And my lyric is, well, you can't have that, but if you're an American citizen, you're entitled to. I'm not, that's not ringing any.
Really?
Any bells. Well, you can't have that, but if you're an American citizen, you're entitled to. And the second lyric is, these are great lyrics. I feel like I should know this.
You definitely know this.
If you're an American citizen, you're entitled to a heated kidney-shaped pool, a microwave oven. Don't watch the food cook.
And the lyrics just get more and more obscure and irrelevant as you go on. Like, I don't have them here, but I could drop another 10.
You can't have that, but if you're an American,
you can't
are these
have that.
Song,
you can't have
spoken.
That. But if you're an American citizen, you're entitled to.
It sounds Frank Zappa-ish. It sounds
no. Nice try though. The song is "What Do You Want from Life" by the Tubes.
Oh my gosh! I don't know that song.
You know that song.
I mean,
at
have
the
to
very
hear.
End of the song, well, you know how the song goes. What do you want from life? Nah, nah, nah.
Oh yeah. No,
the
it just
end,
only
goes,
sprung to me when you sang the chorus a little bit.
Yeah. So at the very end, he starts with, "Well, you can't have that, but if you're an American citizen, you're entitled to." And there's a 17 line long list, and he gets faster and faster as he's going through.
Sure, sure.
And eventually, the sound winds up to a thing. You know. What
that's
I'm
where I want to be able to play that clip, right?
Yeah,
like right
yeah,
now, be able to go.
Can
no,
we
here
address
it is.
That real quick?
Here it is.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We, just so you all know, it's not that we don't want to play the music for you. And it's not that we don't want to share these songs because we really do.
It's not that we don't really like it's yearn. I mean,
right.
I yearn to
it's
just
a copyright
play
thing.
A few seconds,
like,
right?
We if we drop music, actual clips, if we host and drop actual clips here, there is the chance that we would get sued, and we can't afford that.
Yeah, we're not at a point in our development of the show that we can pay for rights to be able to use song clips and so on and so forth. So we got to keep it. We got to keep it on this.
Yeah.
You know, just keep it interesting. Talk and entertain you thoroughly this way.
Sure, that's happening.
Rather than embellish it any further.
Well, I think that maybe taking us up near the end of an episode, unless you got one more you want to share. Where I mean, not the end of an episode, but the end of the segment.
The end of the segment, right? Takes us to the end of Prime. I have another one. If who started? I don't remember who started.
I did with Don Henley. So
oh, you did. You did. Okay,
then
I'm going to give you another one.
This one, and then we're going
to
wrap up.
We're going to try to set you up for success here, and we're going to try to give you one that's a winner.
I haven't had much today.
Race, you should know this song.
Sure. First, by the time they hear the sirens, it's already too late. Okay.
You know this song.
Go ahead and give me the second line, because I'm not having any success today. One's in the morgue and the other's in jail. One got wasted and the other's a waste.
You know the song.
What is it?
They're a little newer in the alt rock.
I mean, my head's going to
Pantheon.
RHCP.
But they're a big alternate band.
No.
Alternative band. I keep using alternate.
What do you got?
Hey, come out and play. Keep them separated.
Yeah, is that what this is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come out and play Offspring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, you heard that I had like the
rhythm. Right, no, I know. You could hear it in your head.
You hear the wheels turning. Oh, man.
Sometimes we
I should have had that.
Sometimes we just got to give the other person. Like when you got it in your head, you got to make the call. I guess you got to make the call. Yeah, but
I just don't want us sitting here looking at each other and people going, what the hell's going on, right?
People like, what?
Yeah, I mean, if in another 10 seconds, I might have pulled it off.
Hopefully people are jumping up and down out there.
Going, you're an idiot, Race.
It's right there.
Why didn't you know that?
Okay, that was, that was Keep 'Em Separated - Come Out and Play by The Offspring, Brian Holland, the writer from 1994 off of the album Smash.
Which was their big, huge...
Yeah, that had a lot of songs come off of it for them, and they've had a number since. So you know they've done well. There's some interesting reading on Brian Holland too. I'm not going to try to recount it now, but if you get a chance to go, you know, sort of check into how he's developed in his road. That's interesting stuff too. Anyway,
and that really does bring us to the end of our Prime segment. You should know this song, and we're getting ready to move on into quick hits.
Yeah, the next piece we're going to do is where we kind of do Prime, but we do it on a faster, less bloviated, got to use that word, less bloviated.
Quick hits is only one.
One clue.
One clue, though.
No,
right?
no second chance on the lyrics. You get it or you don't. And, you know, in that light, the intention should be that they're going to be pretty sure the other person gets them.
Yeah,
so,
we're picking stuff that we expect them to get, right?
Right, right. So maybe not as challenging, but should still be interesting and fun.
And we do these orally, not...
Right, we do them orally. We don't necessarily present the text clue. So...
you want to start?
I'm going to start. Race of Apes.
What do you got?
You should know this song. It is... When you wake up in the morning with your head on fire, and I'm going to say that again, but I'll say it with
the rhythm.
When you wake up in the morning with your head on fire,
man,
and your eyes too bloody to see.
Nope, it's not
that. That second line didn't.
It's
that
not
that extra line.
What is it?
Go on and cry in your coffee, but don't come bitching to me. Big Shot, Billy Joel.
Oh, when now I hear it.
Had to be a big shot.
yeah.
I thought the.
I'm going to ask you not to give me the visual.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Because I think it might be distracting me a little bit.
Okay.
Going
I'm going to turn this.
Turn
the, I was
turn
just
your,
reading it,
yeah,
so I just
monitor,
turned
turn,
that.
Turns you. Turns
right.
you.
I was reading it off that. Sorry.
No, and that's one of those. We've done some Billy Joel stuff. It's kind of amazing to me the longevity. You know, there was a period when I thought that he was going to be like the most important composer of our generation.
Yeah.
Like when he very first came out.
Right.
Before
Billy the Kid.
Before
and,
he met Christy Brinkley. and did like three
are
episodes of doo-wop.
Are you suggesting that
I'm just saying
he got off track because of
a
woman's influence?
I'm not saying that at all. I think it just, you know, he got distracted. All right, so I got one
for you. By the way, Billy Joel was the songwriter there, and that song is just fantastic, and lyrically it's fantastic, and 52nd Street.
I like the construction of the song a whole lot.
Right, 52nd Street, the album, 1978,
great album. I don't think there's a bad song on that album.
Oh my gosh, just a blazer. Go ahead, your turn.
Okay.
Should I?
You should know this song. Is that where you were going?
Yeah.
She used to look good to me, but now I find her
simply irresistible. Whoosh, ting.
And my reason for bringing that one up is that Heavy Nova album.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the songs were those videos with the girls with the white makeup.
And very controversial. He got a lot of flack from
but the songs were actually really kind of put together very well.
Yeah, it was cool. It was so great. Yeah,
I mean, there's no bad Robert Palmer. There's just some I like more than others.
I actually played a couple of those songs live.
Really?
In bands, chintzy bands that I was in.
Chintzy bands.
It's embarrassing.
Were those bands kind dressed of. In chintz? Is that what they were doing?
Yes, we were dressed in head to toe in chintz. Okay, is it me?
It is you.
You should know this song. Can I make your garden grow? Can I make your garden grow? Wow, I thought that one would strike you like lightning.
This is supposed to be something that I know and I don't know.
It is something that House of the Holy, Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Yeah. Can I take you to the movies? Can I take you to the show? Yeah. Can I be yours ever truly? Can I make your garden grow?
Yeah, I know this.
Yeah. You know that song.
I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
1975 Physical Graffiti. Jimmy Page and Robert Anthony Plant wrote that song. And the band, of course, Led Zeppelin, and we don't even need to get started.
Yeah, because Led Zeppelin, we could go all
down the road, we could just blather, and it would not be quick at all, and we're being a little quick at least.
Are we quick hits? Is that where we're going
We for? Are quick.
Why can't you see what you're doing to me?
Yes. Oh, wait. Why can't you see? Yeah, oh my gosh, it's right. I can hear the vocalist.
Really?
And it's not coming through. There's a screen. There's a fog.
Okay, so it's... Suspicious Minds.
Yes. We can't go on together.
Yeah.
It's Elvis.
Yes. It's Elvis. Yes and Elvis. No. It is Elvis. And it was written by Mark James, released in 1968 as a single, actually following the comeback special, the Black Leather.
Yeah.
It was like they essentially somebody said, oh, that went really well. Let's get him doing some singles.
right.
And get some money flowing. But the reason that I brought it up is because I heard a version that I didn't think I'd heard before. By Fine Young Cannibals.
I do remember they made a cover of that.
Yeah. And it made me go, wow.
Yeah.
That's a different version of that song.
But they did a really good job on
and
that.
And I'm not a big fan of theirs.
Really? I loved them.
There was something
I thought
about
they
his
were
voice
cool.
that just kind of grated on me a little
Roland
bit.
Roland Gift.
Is that his name?
Roland Gift. I believe that was his name.
Yeah. It just, but that was, it kind of made me go, oh, well, maybe I do like them.
They did... What would you call them? It was new wave, new wave pop kind of. I think.
Concrete Blonde was having some success when they were out, and Four Non Blondes was having some success when they like that kind
you
of.
You get the blonde thing going. There's a common thread, race.
In that area.
right, and they you know, so I can see how. Maybe it didn't trip some people's triggers, but I thought they made some cool songs. Anyway, that would make it me.
Yep.
And you should know this song. The lyric is, I thought I was in love a couple of times before with a girl next door.
Oh, and I do know this song.
You're going to hate yourself for not guessing.
I am.
This.
Why am I blanking?
His voice. Of course, I thought I was in love with a couple of times before with the girl next door would
give that. I can't pull it up. I can't pull it up, man. What's wrong with me? What is it?
Sweet Baby James?
Oh, yeah.
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 Now you can hear it.
Isn't it amazing a man like me?
Yeah. The song name is Your Smiling Face, James Taylor.
And I've actually got that as a clue in one of our other segments for you.
Oh.
But I'm not going to use it now.
Now you're not going to be able to use
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Or maybe you could and I still wouldn't get it. Written by James Taylor in 1977 on the album JT. So.
That was a good album. That was a really good album.
Does he have a handful of really good albums?
They're all really good albums.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a James Taylor thing. Even some of that stuff. And I love James Taylor. He was one of my bucket list concerts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got to see him not too long ago. Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. But even with him, there's some stuff where I'd go. I didn't really know this. That was Copper Something Road. Or Copper... Not Copperhead Road. That's a different song.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely different than a James Taylor song.
I think that's Steve Earle, isn't it?
Maybe originally, but...
But there is a Something Copper that was an album that I just didn't like. It just never really struck for me.
Right, right. Didn't resonate.
And of course, it'll end up in our corrections when I figure out what the hell that album was.
Yes, it will.
All right, so that's me. You should know this song. And there's a real square cat looks in 1974.
Yeah, that would be the Stray Cats. Come on. Look at me once. Look at me twice. Look at me again. There's going to be a fight. Rock This Town.
There you go.
Rock It Inside
Out.
Stray Cats.
Just a little bit better there because it took you a second to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Setzer and the Boys.
Yeah, 1981.
Yeah.
The album was the Stray Cats album, their debut album.
With a lot of great music on it. And
and I just love the stuff that he's done since.
Yeah.
The Brian Setzer Orchestra to me is just amazing listening.
Yeah, it's really, really well put together. It's a great effort, and I have a lot of appreciation for the fact that he went that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And owns it.
Right. He fully owns it. And it's top quality stuff. Top shelf stuff there. Okay, my turn.
Go.
You ready?
Yeah.
You should know this song.
I hope so.
I really hope so. How about When I Took... This is a little ironic or odd here. When I Took You Out, I Knew What You Were All About. When I Took You Out, I Knew What You Were All About.
I can hear it. It's Robert Palmer.
It is Robert Palmer. That's the irony.
Didn't mean to turn you on.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which was a cover for him.
Yes.
It was originally an R&B tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. I prefer his version, actually.
Oh, my gosh. That version of it was so great. Riptide is the album.
Oh, and that's a great album, man. Yes. And there's like a couple of standards on there. He does a couple of other tunes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I couldn't pull them off.
So great.
Yeah.
1985.
I think I actually have that on vinyl somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was the mid-80s, I love Robert Palmer. That first album, Double Fun?
Yes.
No, that's not the first album, but that's...
I don't know if it's the first album.
It's not. I had the first album and I had Double Fun. The first album is Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley.
Sneakin' Sally, that album's just a blowout.
Oh, absolutely.
End to end.
Every song.
Yeah,
end to end. And Double Fun's pretty close.
Yeah.
I loved that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, sorry.
I mean, if you listen to these first few episodes here, we've had some Robert Palmer visits.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about at all, but we like our Robert Palmer. Okay, it's you. Hit me.
I've got Now My Girl, You're So Young and Pretty.
One thing I know is true. You'll be dead. We'll be dead before our time is through.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's, we got to get out of this place.
We got to get out of this place.
The Animals.
Eric Burdon and the Animals.
The Animals. The Garanimals.
67?
65.
65.
Nice.
65.
Yeah, very nice. That was released as a single. It was not on an album initially.
Yeah.
Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, husband and wife songwriting team.
Oh. I assumed that was an Eric Burdon writing.
You know the Brill Building? Job. Does that ring a bell to you?
It does.
Okay. It was a songwriting, essentially a building where all the songwriters worked in New York.
Yeah.
Short for brilliant. They were a Brill Building couple.
Oh.
And they had a boatload of hits. They are actually a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame couple. Yes,
huh.
As songwriters.
Yeah, we got to do a Uncontrolled Substance
again,
on them.
Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, definitely, if you're interested, go
check them out.
Check out the Googles and go take a look at what they did.
Yeah, Wikipedia them or whatever. Yet another of the several dozen uncontrollable substances we have to get back to.
Is anyone keeping track of those? Have you talked to the assistants? Secretaries?
We're going to have to do like 3 consecutive episodes that are just uncontrolled substance, and we'll be 30% caught up.
People would walk away.
And boy, the corrections. Huh? Think of the corrections.
All of them.
Okay, here's one for you. You should know this song and Take Me Across the Water because I need some place to hide.
Dumb the Rancher's Daughter.
Yeah.
That's Uriah Heep.
Yeah. Look at you
stealing?
Go.
Stealing?
Yes.
Is that right?
Stealing. Stealing
I was, my song. Brother was a big Uriah Heep fan. Well,
so
before,
was mine.
Well before this. This is the Wizards album, I think.
A Sweet Freedom album. Wizards was before that, and Wizards was great.
Yeah, and even before then.
And I think the Wizards album is what my brother sort of pounded
yeah,
me in
the first one that I know is actually called Uriah Heep.
Yeah.
And it's pretty heavy. There's a tune called Gypsy.
Yeah.
That's really like boom, 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 boom. Very heavy yeah. bass and organ keyboards.
Yeah.
Might have been a Hammond organ thing.
I always think of Iron Butterfly when I think of early Uriah Heep, like, you know, comparing the two. But
right.
then Uriah Heep went on for several good albums and several, you know, a lot of good radio airplay for a while. And their style sort of changed a bit from the acid rock,
yeah.
You know, psychedelic sound.
And
they did some pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
They did some really cool stuff.
Do you know who Crate is? Crate Music here in St. Louis?
No.
Yeah, so Crate's a brand of amp.
That I know, but okay. Crate Music, I thought you were talking about music company.
No, no.
I know.
My wife worked for Crate when I met her, and they yeah. used to say that all of their instruments, and they do instruments as well as amps, they used to say all their stuff was musician-made, because they hired a bunch of kids that were playing in rock bands.
Right.
But the reason I mention all of that is that Ken Hensley, the keyboard player and singer
sure.
from Uriah Heep, was one of their technical directors, consultants.
Yeah.
He worked for Crate. And I actually met him at a work function.
Through that, yeah, through
that
her
my
work.
Wife did.
Yeah. Nice.
Which I thought was pretty cool because, you know, I mean, I knew who Ken Hensley was when I was 13
yeah.
years old.
Right.
You know?
So you got to have a little, a close encounter.
Yeah, what do you call it? A little fangirling.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
I had a unique, hopefully we'll have a occasion for it to come back up. I had a unique Uriah Heep near miss earlier in my life, too, that's humorous and weird that I'd be interested in, you know, letting everybody know about. But I'm not going to do it right now because...
We're out of time.
I think we're at the end of this segment.
And we're... I think we've got something else that we're needing to move into, aren't we?
Yeah, we're done with Quick Hits. That was what Quick Hits is about. For those of you who were wondering, we're about to move into a segment we call...
Ask and Ye Shall Deceive.
Ask and Ye Shall Deceive. It's a turn the a piece of the lyrics into a weird question challenge-based game.
That's exactly what it is.
Even if that description doesn't sound fun, we really think it's a fun game and we have a good time with this. So that Quick Hits was, that was pretty enjoyable.
I had a good time with that. Absolutely.
By the way, while we're in the middle of it, thanks everybody for hanging in there.
Oh, and you know who we are.
Yeah, we are Mixed Apes.
And this show is
You Should Know This Podcast. I can call it a show.
Yes, but this podcast is You Should Know This Song.
You Should Know This Song.
Yes. It is a show. And you say Showgram all the time.
Showgram,
Pod Show.
Yeah.
Know, says a lot of what you do.
Yeah. I'm lame embodied, I think you might be able to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for listening
you're also
and hanging
lame,
out.
Lame enabled.
Thanks for hanging out, listening, and all that stuff. Throw your comments in there. Share this. Do your likes. Sorry to interrupt. Here we go. So we're going to move into Ask and Ye Shall Deceive. You go first.
Yes. Where did everybody have matching towels?
Oh, wait.
I thought you might like this one.
Yeah. At a party, and somebody went under the dock, and there they found a rock.
You've got the song, but you got the lyrics wrong.
No.
It's at the beach.
We were at a party.
We were at the beach. Everybody
oh, I thought he
had,
says we were at a party.
Okay.
But I know it makes more sense that they would
yeah,
be at,
we
the
were
beach,
at the
beach. But in
everybody
my head, I mean, everybody.
Matching towels.
Somebody went.
It's B-52.
Under the dock.
Yeah.
You want me to do all the rest
of
the lyrics?
No, I would really prefer that you didn't.
Now I have...
a whole beat.
The drum beat, which makes me want to hear cowbell and do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
There you go. There you go.
Skidoobadop.
B-52s, Fred Schneider and Ricky Wilson. I believe I have the
Wild Planet.
1978.
Wild Planet, the album, I think? Wild.
It may have been, but it was originally released as a single. And then was on an album a few months later, I think.
There's the story, which I got into the... here I go. I got into the B-52s because of my older brother, and I'm going to specify that it was my older brother, Brett, in case he ever listens into this, who I have to give some credit for having a little bit of a range in musical taste and possibly having most influenced me amongst my brothers.
Well, you really qualified that down.
I really did.
because don't be nice to him. He's your brother.
My oldest brother didn't quite have that musical taste range. And Brett delved into some things that were outside of, like, you know, there was Casey.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, in St. Louis, there's Casey, which, by the way, another digression. I apologize. I just heard the other day.
A digression from a digression.
Is the oldest rock radio station surviving in the country.
Continuously
running
format,
format radio station. Anyway, my oldest brother, Mitch, was, you know, pretty much mainline Casey. B-52s came out. They were not a Casey band.
No.
That was not
Although
what you heard.
Although you'll hear them on there now.
Oh, you will now.
You wouldn't have then. Right.
You wouldn't have then. And so when Brett started playing this B-52 stuff,
I was like... Which was weird shit back then.
It was weird. Yeah. I mean, he was frowned upon. I'll just say that. In his circles,
they were like,
which were stoner, hippie, rock and roll listening.
Right. What the hell are you
listening to? Mainstream blues rock, hard rock, heavy metal.
Yeah, kind of stuff.
This was like just weird as crap. Like, who are these...
And for as weird as they are, Rock Lobster is one of their weirder tunes.
It is what, if you know the B-52s, that's kind of, it's a upper third weird.
Yeah.
Because they got some stuff. I mean,
it's out there.
Has anybody seen The Dog Died Dark Green? The song about his poodle, Keish Lorraine?
No.
You gotta listen to that. I mean, they just let it go. Stream of consciousness weirdness.
I'll give you a Casey digression. When I was in college in 1981,
yeah,
in Carbondale, Illinois.
Okay.
SIU, go Salukis. which I never, by the way, I never graduated. I only went for like three semesters or a year and a half.
Still respect.
Anyway, when I was there, there was a bar. There were a lot of bars. I spent a bunch of time in all of them. But there was a bar that had Casey.
In particular.
There was a bar that had Casey piped in.
Oh, wow. Like, nice. Yeah, they were just playing the radio station.
I had never heard of Casey. It was the first, and I grew up on some rock and roll stations.
Sure,
Chicago.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever heard, and a bunch of others. there was a rock and roll station in Chicago called WXRT, which is a whole other,
conversation.
But anyway, it was the first time I ever heard of a hood. I ever heard a Montrose song off of his second album, Paper Money, on the radio, was on Casey.
Yeah.
In a bar in Carbondale, Illinois in 1981, probably 4 or 5 years after the album had been out.
Montrose was a...
But it wasn't a thing that got, like, that second album never got any airplay in Chicago.
Right. St. Louis was Montrose country.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure, yeah. I mean, before St. Louis was Sammy Hagar country.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy Hagar got a foothold as... St. Louis being, you know, a beloved place because Montrose was beloved in St. Louis. But yes, that's a whole different conversation. And back to the B-52s, which was led to us by what? Oh, by your clue. It's been so long. Feels like it's a year since you've been there. That's how it goes here, folks. Strap in.
All right, so it's your turn, right? Or are you still going?
No, I was going to still go, but now I've completely lost what I was going to say. And I think it might have actually been interesting.
I would question that.
Okay, my question for you. I'm turning this so you can't. I know how it distracted you last time. So
We are still playing.
Ask and ye shall.
Ask and ye shall receive.
And you should know this song.
Okay.
Also, where do Tommy and Gina work, and why is Tommy down on his luck?
I'm gonna say I'm not gonna get this.
This one, I really think you're gonna be surprised.
Yeah, you want to give it to me? What do you got?
I'm gonna give you a little extra help because I know once it starts flowing, I think you're gonna get it. Tommy used to work on the dock.
Oh, is this Bon Jovi? Tommy, living on a prayer. Jesus, are you kidding me?
You know where Tommy works? Where does Gina work? She worked it all day.
I guess a restaurant.
The diner.
Yeah.
And then why is Tommy down on his luck? Because the union has been on strike.
But isn't the...
He's down on his luck. It's tough. It's so tough.
Yeah. Isn't the whole purpose to figure out the song?
Yes, it is. But having the lyrics fill in the answers. No, I think filling in the answer with the lyrics.
Yes.
Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi, 1986.
And that's also on another one of mine that I'll have to wait now 3 months to come in with the reference.
Slippery When Wet album.
Yes.
Written by Desmond Child, whose name I'm not familiar with. And I wanted to look up, but I didn't have time. John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. Okay, you give me a weird question.
Okay. When and where are people walking on a sidewalk hotter than a match head?
Oh. It's Summer in the City. But right. what's the lyric line leads up to that?
Well, they're walking
hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city.
Walking around, people looking half dead.
People looking half dead.
Right, but the answer to the song
is summer in the city. Yes. In the city is technically the
question. Yeah, when? Summer.
When? Summer and in the city. Right.
So, yes. Love and Spoonful. I love Love and Spoonful.
Yeah.
That happens to be my brother turned me on to them. He was a huge fan. John Sebastian and apparently his brother, Mark Sebastian, who I didn't even know it was, maybe he wasn't in the band, maybe he just was a songwriter.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't remember their little
family tie there or something.
I saw John Sebastian on one of those, either Midnight Special or Don Kirshner's Rock Concert. It was one of the two.
With Love and Spoonful or as John Sebastian?
As the host.
Oh.
And he came out in the middle of the show and said, I've always wanted to do this. And sat down to tune his auto harp to take them into commercial. sitting alone in the middle of a stage. And they went to commercial. He's like, hey, I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to tune my auto harp live.
And by the way, hey, kids. And I do kind of mean kids, but people in general. You know what you don't get to see anymore when you're streaming your music or when you're listening to it on YouTube? You don't get to see stuff like that where people come out and they do an intro and they decide they're going to tune their auto harp. Right. He's just ad-libbing a little bit.
When you say you don't
need
to see that, you don't get to see that. What it sounds like.
You don't get to experience that.
It sounds like you're being detrimental. And the truth is, you missed that is what you really what you're
you
really
missed
saying.
That but like you do your Sirius station or you do your streaming on whatever format platform you're going to use.
Yep.
And you know YouTube Music or this or that, and it's song after song back to back, and there isn't interaction from a personality or from somebody embellishing it, which I enjoy it. I indulge in it myself. I like to have my clean music when I want to have it, but sometimes there's a reason to have a show. I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm just blathering.
The thing is that if it's not happening currently, you have to know what you're looking for to look back at it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And if you don't know what you're looking for, it's not your fault that you don't have access.
It's not your fault. I mean, I wasn't. Right. I see what you're saying. I wasn't throwing shade on the people, age regardless. I was throwing shade on the platforms and the current tightly packaged delivery.
That stuff's not out there. Like, you know, unless you go and look for things like Live at Daryl's Place.
Right. If you're not looking for it, you're not getting some of the messiness that's enjoyable.
Which is kind
of
cool.
That was enjoyable about when radio was great. And I know that sounds like old person stuff. But also when you had things like Don Kirshner's rock concert and Midnight Special and Soul Train, which also sounds like old people stuff, but the content is the reason that it was cool. Okay, is it me?
I believe it's you.
I'm asking you a dumb question.
Yes.
You should know this song. What are the brick house's measurements?
36, 24, 36, or 38, 24, 36.
I think it's 36, 24, 36. And ironically, while I thought of the question and got a kick out of myself for thinking of it, I didn't write down the answer.
Well, I've got here you go.
But it's 36, 24, 36. I can hear him saying it. So
let me ask you this. Whose measurements are 42, 39, 56?
Hold on. Yes. AC/DC.
There you go. All right. So now give the credit for your song.
Yes. And so my song is Brick House from the Commodores, who we could go on about the Commodores for a minute. Written by Lionel Richie, Milan Williams, Ronald Lepreid, Thomas McClary, Walter Orange, William King. How many people contributed to that song? Oh my gosh. 1977 off the album The Commodores. And Whole Lotta Rosie. Yeah. Is back to the AC/DC song that you just referenced.
Scott
there.
Young and Young. And the only reason I mentioned it was because we both had measurement references.
Right. Here, was that so your next one?
That was my next one. And that's kind of where we're going to wrap it up for this particular segment.
That's right. That was Asking You Shall Receive.
Asking You Shall Deceive. Well, I'm just going to speak right over you there. I'm
asking
sorry.
You Shall Deceive. We could, needless to say, go on with that game for some time because
it's fun.
It turns out it's really fun. It's ridiculous. Fun.
Yes, it's coming out easier than it did initially. I'll give you that for sure.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I think that that kind of wraps us up. The end of Asking Ye Shall Deceive.
I'm not really interested in the end of that or the show.
I know, you just don't want to let it go.
That's right.
But we gotta let it go.
We do.
It is the end of the episode.
Yeah, and we just want to, you know, make sure that you all know how much we appreciate you listening in with us and being here. We have had so much fun doing this, if it wasn't already evident. Race.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm having a blast, and we're starting to get a little feedback, people telling us how they feel about it, and it so far, it's all positive. But if there's something that you don't like or something you want to hear, or again, as always, corrections, please.
Yeah, we want the commentary. We want to know what you're thinking. And if you will, consider liking and sharing and following
and subscribing and all of those
all
things.
That stuff. Yeah. We really appreciate that as well. Because, again, it's a way to let us know. But it's also a way for us to let you know when the next episode is coming out.
Absolutely.
And so forth.
Are going to a... we should be on a regular weekly schedule now.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we should be on a weekly schedule. We are on a number of platforms now, and we're just digging it. So come back for more of our commentary, come back for more music thoughts and clues, come back for more goofiness and ADD there's mental wandering.
Absolutely.
And
visit us on the website and you can get some more data. And
that is youshouldknowthissong.com. That's probably the best way to get there. Youshouldknowthissong.com.
Again, thanks so much. I can't say enough.
All right. Take it easy. See you next time.
We're out.